This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Enterprise Bris Bites on Monday, the 8th of February. My name is Audrey Raj, and with me in the studio is
Frida Liu.
On the show today, we are going to be talking about food. Our question is,
should dine-ins be allowed during MCO? Why or why not? There is a poll happening on Twitter and Instagram. The numbers are coming in fast and furious. And of course, you know, let us know also on WhatsApp 018-789-8899.
Yes. Also on the show today, we're going to be talking about how drive-in dining is picking up speed during this MCO. And we'll cap off the show with a bit of an update on if you can't have a CNY reunion dinner with your family. We have the latest on that. But coming back to our top story, there is a growing appetite for dining in during the MCO. Over the weekend, we heard news that the Domestic Trade and Consumer Affairs Ministry is looking to submit an application for dining in to be allowed during this MCO period.
Right. So as we know, the current MCO rules only allow cooked food to be sold for delivery or takeaways. But the ministry says it is concerned about the welfare of not only food premises and food truck operators, but also workers, suppliers and wholesalers of foodstuff and anyone involved in the food industry. And this is why it will submit an application for dine-ins to be allowed to Senior Minister for Security Ismail Sabri Yaakob. We know that name too well. Or the National Security Council MKN soon.
Yeah, so Deputy Trade and Consumer Affairs Minister Russell Wahid said that, you know, for each premises allowed to offer dine-ins, it could help revive the economy and lives of at least five individuals involved in the chain of suppliers of raw materials and goods. So for each business that's allowed to take dine-ins, it affects five other businesses, right? He added that the owners of premises and food trucks had promised to comply with rules set by the MKN.
The ministry will also request that shops selling clothes be allowed to resume business, especially in view of the coming Chinese New Year and Hari Raya Idul Fitri activities. He said, we know that we are in a dilemma between the economy and people's health. After all, many new clusters are found in construction sites, whereas there is no emergence of new clusters in business areas such as restaurants and eateries, night markets and premises selling clothing. So we hope the MKN can consider this.
Now, we've heard how dire it's been for the retail sector, this MCO in particular. And we've done so many stories about that. Now, but many have been calling, if you notice, a specific 5-point request over the weekend on Twitter Jaya, enhanced measures to curb the rise in cases here. Now, over the weekend, we breached the 50,000 active cases mark here in Malaysia, and we've been averaging about 3,000 to 4,000 new cases every other day, right, Frida? So, despite the rising number of cases and active clusters, is this the right time to be thinking about allowing people to leave their homes and eat out?
Remember the good old days of about 100 plus and we were terrified and we are, you know, 3,000 to 4,000. So I understand it. And then, of course, we'll go through the poll results a little later. It's a fine line, right?
Do you feel comfortable eating out?
I do.
You do?
I do. You know, I just go to a restaurant that follows the SOP and I do my bit as well. And just, you know, I'm that sort of person. Maybe I'm also not in that age category yet. And I don't have anybody old living with me. And just, you know, so it's just like I feel that I don't want to let this fear overtake me. But my situation is different, right? Like in your case, you've got young ones, you've got old ones. So it's different. So for me, you know, I don't have anybody old living with me.
So for me, I'm a bit on the fence about this, just because, you know, I understand how this could potentially impact business owners. And, you know, like the deputy Domestic Trade and Consumer Affairs Minister said, that it could impact the cascading supply chain of these businesses, right? But I'm also thinking, I miss, you know, just going to a restaurant and, you know, sitting there and having a cup of coffee, something like that. And I know for many people, it could be an outlet to just get out of the house. But do we want people to just get out of the house, especially when the numbers are rising the way it is? I think to a certain extent, you were talking about earlier how, you know, remember when it was the numbers were at 100 and we were concerned, and then now it's like by the thousands. We're slightly desensitized by the numbers because we keep hearing these large numbers every day, right? But, you know, does that mean that, you know, is there an element of us being desensitized to the amount of cases that is in the community, and we're actually talking about things like this. So I'm just wondering.
And I think also, like, maybe some people thinking, okay, well, the vaccine's on the way, right? But I mean, just the current situation where I'm talking to someone right now in the US, right? And, you know, even the vaccine's on the way, when you get it, you get it. You know, when you kena, you get it. And the parents have been hospitalized, right? So it is, you know, if we don't have it right now, we have to be careful. And although you say the vaccine's there, you know, so it's a fine line, I know, because I also understand, because we talk to so many businesses, right, and how they're suffering and all that. So we also feel for them, that balance.
Yeah. So we are asking you, how do you feel about dining in being allowed during the MCO? Why or why not? Are you comfortable? Are you not? You know, send us your thoughts. 018-789-8899 on WhatsApp. You can also reach us on Twitter and on Instagram. At BFM Radio is our handle. We'll come back to a guest that's waiting on the line to talk to us and to give us, well, the behind the scenes perspective of an F&B operator on why dine-ins should or should not be allowed. That's coming up in just a bit after the specials after Nightclub by The Specials. That's an interesting name for a band. All that and more on Enterprise Biz Bytes, BFM 89.9.
Buggy Free Minum, BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Welcome back. You are listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes with Frida Liu and Audrey Raj. And on the show today, we are asking you
the question, should dine-ins be allowed during MCO? Why or why not? Let's have a look at the poll results, right? So no is too risky at 48.7%. Yes, but limited packs at 44%. And yes at 7.3%. So actually, there's more of you who are saying yes.
Yeah. But over on Instagram, it is 65% who say no and yes at 35%. Okay, there's a bit of a mismatch here, but never mind. We'll get to your comments in just a bit. We're asking you how you feel about dining out during this MCO. But to get the perspective of an F&B operator and to understand what's going on behind the scenes, how confident they are in the SOPs, if they're allowed diners again, and things like that. We have on the line with us right now, Renyi Chin, co-founder of My Burger Lab, My Pizza Lab, and My Boba Lab. Mm-hmm. Renyi, off the bat, what are your thoughts on this proposal to allow dine-ins during this MCO?
I think the proposal makes sense. And the reason is simply because we know the virus better. In the sense of how infectious it can be, and also the fact that we've come to a point where, unlike the first MCO, where we still had a little bit of cash flow in the bank, you know, being able to sustain, you know, a lockdown. But we've done our 6 months, and then we've reopened, and now we're at a stage where things are so much more worse. But we understand that the virus is controllable to the extent where if we follow SOP, the level of infection is not as bad. Now, the reason why I can confidently say this is because we've been looking at a few of the cases in restaurants, and a lot of times the cases are either customers coming in and then they got infected back home. And there were very little cases where customers have passed on to other customers in the same restaurant in the same time. Who were in the restaurant at the same time, or customers passing it to staff. There were also no recorded cases of staff passing to each other during work or them passing it on to customers. However, there are cluster cases where staff has passed it among staff, but they all live together. So that's the difference. So for restaurants, I mean, for all businesses, we have all done our part, and you know, it is what it is right now. The economy must go on, because if it doesn't, lives will be lost in another form, livelihoods.
Right. So, but Renyi, how dire is it for F&B businesses and links in their supply chain right now?
Well, from a restaurant point of view, a lot of us are really running low on cash. So, the argument is, hey, but you have delivery. And I agree. So I'm speaking not from Burger Lab point of view, but from a F&B point of view, where I do hear a lot of my fellow peers are really suffering. So while a lot of us can do delivery, but not all of us thrive on delivery. And in fact, even for us that thrive on delivery, we don't see the profitability coming in, because a whole chunk of our profit actually goes to our delivery partners. Mm. Now, that is, I have nothing against that, because that is an agreement we went into way before, you know, COVID was a thing. So that's fine. That's not part of the argument here. But opening for dine-in, even if it's just 10% or 20%, meaning that you say, hey, look, you can only have 20% seating in your store, it will help that a little bit, because that means that whoever customer that is in our store, we get to earn 100% of it, rather than having 20 to 30% of that profit going to our delivery partner.
So Rini, for a company like My Burger Lab, how much of a difference will having limited diners make to your bottom line? And how will this cascade down to your suppliers, etc.?
I think on the supplier side, it's not that bad due to, well, except for our fresh ingredient suppliers, like our vegetable suppliers, it does make a small difference. But thankfully, as Burger Lab, the demand for our burgers is still there. We saw a 20% drop in demand. So at 80%, we are much better than a lot of people. But I can't say the same for a lot of other businesses. So to the question of whether it affects our suppliers, the answer is no, because a lot of what we use are frozen or has very long shelf life. But other restaurants, like sushi restaurants, for example, they do use a lot of fresh ingredient. Right. And that, for example, would be an issue for them and their suppliers.
Okay, so if MKN agrees to this proposal, do you have any concerns as an F&B operator about SOPs for dine-in?
So I don't think so, because we've been through this. In fact, we have voluntarily closed out dine-in, even though the government said it was okay. But we felt that was, you know, we tried to do our part. But when everyone else is open for dine-in anyway, the little that we do is insignificant. But that being said, we also started realizing that although there are cases in restaurants, as I mentioned before, they are not spread through the act of dining in restaurant. Now, over the last few months, a lot of services have popped up as well. For example, in fact, we're preparing for the next opening of dine-in, whereby we have a company called Magic Copper, where it's a sticker of sorts, where it's laminated onto surfaces. And when you touch it, immediately whatever bacteria and virus is broken down and is destroyed. So this way, it keeps high traffic contact area sanitized all the time without us having to constantly wipe down. And then we are also engaged with another company where they are turning air cons into a filtration system. They install a UV light strip onto our existing AC system. And as the AC, you know, pulls air and cools it down, it also filters the air. So there are a lot more services out there that we are engaging in, and I believe a lot of restaurants are doing, so that when we open up a dine-in, it is a safer experience.
Right. Are there any other options we should be considering to help these businesses do better during this period, you know, to help their survivability?
I think to lump all F&B businesses together would be an error. The players in the malls, they are suffering much worse than us who are independent out of the mall, where we have mom and pop shops, brick and mortar shops in neighborhoods. Then, of course, our situation is also different than the night market vendors, the hawkers, the auntie and uncles who make up, you know, those that are family run, that only have one outlet, their sufferings are different. And I think the government needs to look into this in layer and provide help to the individuals. So another thing that I want to bring up is night market. People make fun of the fact that, hey, you know, you open up night market, that's a bad thing to do. But a lot of people, a lot of them, their livelihood is based on this morning and night market. So who are we to say, hey, look, it is a bad idea? As long as SOP is in place, I don't think we should have much to fear. The only issue here is when people do not comply to SOP, wearing their masks, you know, below their nose, not washing their hands, not sanitizing their hands frequently. So that is where the issue is. But with proper SOP adherence, we shouldn't see those issues. And in fact, I feel that the government should release data on, hey, for those infected, how were they infected? A lot of times when we ask, you know, when we hear stories of people that we know have been infected, it always boils down to them dining in together at home masked down in a very comfortable environment or in the office pantry area. You know, they share food, and that's where the contamination happened. So once we understand where the high risk area are, those are the action and those are the location we want to avoid, and not just put blanketing statements out. In fact, one more thing that I should add, sorry. Opening up for dine-in, we're not asking for 100% seating. Even if it is just 2 person a table, we're okay with that, because the current rule is that only 2 person can come in the car, right? So if a family of two if a party of two would like to dine in together, why not allow us to have that? 2 is better than 0.
Right. Thank you for that, Renyi. Mm. That was Renyi Chin, co-founder of My Burger Lab, My Pizza Lab, and My Boba Lab. But quite interesting also that he mentioned that there are actually businesses now working on helping restaurants and F&B owners with keeping their surfaces sanitized. I think he mentioned a couple of businesses there.
Right.
That was quite interesting as well. Mm. More pandemic pivots,
yes,
I guess. We're asking you on the show today, should dine-ins be allowed during MCO? Why or why not? We have a bit of time to read some of the messages that have come in. So,
why don't I go through all the WhatsApp ones, right?
Sure.
So, he says, May here, I'm on the fence about it, though. I do miss dining in a cafe, restaurants, and hawker centres, but on the other hand, it means it may be a better choice to still tap out to be safe. Alternatively, I heard there are actually a few restaurants, cafes, and fast food places offering the drive-through service. We've heard about that, right? And like how it used to be at the A&W. So, par order, get food served to you and eat in your car, but this will be easier if the restaurant, cafe, fast food place are obviously standalone. Are not the malls, right? So that might be fun. Maybe eating a drive-through, maybe a comeback. No, happy Monday, girls. Then we have one of 8703. Yes, but limited numbers. Then from Steve Chong, yes, dining should be allowed for at least a minimum one pack, so 2 people maximum will be fine with social distancing and wear masks. Okay, so that's the thing happening. So again, we have from Walter. He said some food don't taste the same if tapao.
Yeah, food doesn't travel well. Yeah,
I know. Yeah. And then Dennis Boone said government should allow quick dining, 1 person, 1 table, no talking between diners. Okay. Do not say hello. Do not smile. Okay. A lot more here. I'll go through the rest later.
All right.
This one from Ro later, so I have to digest that one.
All right. And looking at Instagram, Jessica says, just reduce contact. Just stay at home. We've got Sharula who says, outright no. When we were allowed to dine in, many people still fail to adhere to SOPs. Cal says, way too close contact. Ideology Ibrahim says, let's help our local restaurants. They are suffering for a lack of customers. Just follow your SOPs. Sham Silveraja says, non-compliance of SOPs was prevalent when dine-in was allowed. And we've got Calvin who says, open-close is just going to delay the inevitable. We need a prolonged recovery period. There are a lot more messages coming in via Instagram, but if you'd like to chime in and tell us what you think, should dine-ins be allowed during the MCO, you can get in touch with us on WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also reach us on Twitter and on Instagram. We have polls happening on both those platforms, but you can send us your comments as well. At BFM Radio is our handle. When we come back, we've got a story about how drive-in dining is picking up speed during MCO. But for now, here's Diana Ross with Upside Down. This is Enterprise Biz Bytes, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.